Hello and welcome to CICK News. CICK News is your local and regional news coverage provided by me, Pamela Hassan, and Dan Messick for Smithers Community Radio. This news program is funded by the Community Radio Fund of Canada and the Government of Canada, and our aim is to provide local coverage on stories that affect the lives of Northerners like you.
Hi, my name is Madeline Gutabi, and this is the second part of a two-part podcast for CICK News. CICK News is Smithers Community Radio's regional news coverage, which airs on 93.9 FM every Tuesday and Thursday. Today I'm going to be presenting the second part of a series about a request to put up a pro-life flag in downtown Smithers across the street from an existing pride flag. This series is a collection of individual interviews and a panel discussion with community members representing the spectrum of opinions on the topic of representation, inclusion, and civic responsibility by town council when they were presented with this request. The voices you will hear in this series are from the Pro-Life Society, the LGBTQ2I+ community, the medical community, as well as a member of town council. As this issue can divide people, this series aims to connect community members and engage them in thoughtful discourse regarding the divisive matter of representation. So thank you for listening to this podcast. I'm Madeline, and this is The Crosswalk. Since we haven't all properly met, if everyone just goes around and says a couple words about themselves, that would be great. I can start off. I'm Madeline. I'm going to be moderating this conversation. I'm a student, and I'm kind of from Smithers, but I grew up in Ontario.
Kate. I'm Kate Needhammer. I was born and raised in Smithers, and I currently work as a family physician here.
Thanks, Kate.
My name is Betty Banstra, and I am the chairperson of the Smithers Pro-Life organization and have lived in Smithers for 43 years after I met my spouse here.
My name is Jessica Vandergaeg. I'm a mother and a wife and a member of the Smithers for Life board here in Smithers, and I too have lived here my whole life. So Telqua, Houston, Smithers, all in the Buckley Valley.
I'm Frank Crayon, town Smithers Town Council. I've been on town council for 15 or so years now, and I've lived in the valley for most of my adult life.
Brilliant. Okay, and I guess if you guys are all okay with it, we can just jump right into it. The first question I put was the council's decision to decline the request for the pro-life flag justified?
I'm on Smithers Town Council, and I believe that the vote was unanimous. I think we all had different reasons for it, though. So usually when things are unanimous, we're pretty solid, and unless new facts come forward or something.
But you guys didn't all feel the same way?
Just for different reasons.
Right.
I mean, I can only speak for myself. I was one of two that voted against putting Rainbow Crosswalk down in the first place.
I see.
So my feeling was that, and I don't want to criticize because you made decisions at council and you move forward.
Yeah.
But I felt that this was a logical offshoot of starting to do something. We'd always had a kind of a standing, non-written policy that we didn't approve any kind of requests of the sort for flags, for traffic markings, but even proclamations. We didn't do proclamations. We still don't, but there's nothing written down that says that no.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. Sorry, I looked at you, Betty, because I've spoken to you individually, and I know you referenced how Frank was consistent between.
Yeah, and I fully respect that, actually, that Frank voted against the Pride sidewalk back in 2015, and that he was consistent with his thinking on that. He has the strongest leg to stand on, so to speak, with his position for not voting for our flag.
Right.
And I'm inclined to think that some of the other counselors did not have the same solid foundation for denying the request.
Right. Jessica, I know you were another one of the delegates. I don't mean to single you out, but do you have anything you'd like to say about it?
I guess I just felt like it was a flavor of the day sort of thing. Like, most didn't agree with us, but they still. And that was most of their reasons for saying no.
Right.
And I just felt it was a little inconsistent with being fair to different groups. I mean, if you're going to be fair, either do just Savic flags or allow other people to fly their flag as well, like us.
Yeah. I think the angle with the pride flag, like what I read in the articles that were written, was that it was like a symbol of inclusion for everyone. And then another one of the articles that was about the request being declined, one of the quotes, I think, was something along the lines of like, well, the pro-life flag is controversial to some. Do you guys feel like they're equally inclusive, the pride flag and the pro-life flag?
So, like, I think the pro-life flag is almost more inclusive in that it fights for the right to life for everyone. The pride flag, I find a little more, how do you say, uninclusive. It's even in the LGBTQIA2S+ community, there's division. Like there's groups now of LGB. I wish River was here because she might know. But there's more LGB people who don't actually want to associate with TQIA people anymore. And then there's like the Instagram page, Gays Against Groomers, who share that they're not okay with drag queen story hours, and they're not okay with a lot of the nudity that's going on in main cities across Canada at these pride things. Like, it's not even that it, yeah, it's not as inclusive as you think. It doesn't include everyone. Like people like to say, it's such an inclusive flag and it includes everyone. I don't agree with that.
And I think, like, you know, like playing devil's advocate, I guess the other point of view would be some people viewing the pro-life flag as like not as inclusive.
Well, again, it's showing, I would want it to show our value for human life, that we will fight for the life of anyone, whether you're gay, straight, religious, anything. Mm-hmm. Like, we're going to fight for your life from conception to death. And that is including everyone. Like, the basic charter of rights is our right to life. And there's many unborn human beings who are being denied that right to life based on their circumstances or based on their mother's feelings or based on whether they're wanted or not. And yeah.
I think part of the problem, especially these days now, is that you can take any symbol you want and say that you think it's what you want to say. And then there's going to be people that see it differently. There's also an unfortunate tendency in society for anybody that disagrees with you is not disagreeing with you along any kind of spectrum. Because I think, you know, at the end of the day, people are going to see what they want to see. I'll take the Confederate flag as an example. Yeah. I grew up watching the Dukes of Hazzard. I absolutely would have had a Confederate flag in my room because I thought that's all it was just some cool, yeah, good old boys.
I didn't know the history
and what it represented. Mm-hmm. I mean, I wouldn't have one now, but I think somebody could come and say, hey, I'm just a rebel. That's why I want this flag up here.
Yeah.
And that's what I try to do with things, is take them to extremes, mostly ridiculous extremes. Like, what if we wanted to fly a Nazi flag?
Yeah.
And then kind of feel how that would feel. I think a question, and I hope this is with respect, but my next thing was, if we had allowed a pro-life flag, how would you have felt about a pro-choice flag flying next to it?
Well, to be consistent, fine with it, so long as we get our flag up there too, right?
What about, like, Nazi flag flying next to it? I'm just going to really push it because, yeah, I guess, like, coming back to, like, the point, like, and probably why I'm here is because I'm going to say that I think it was the right decision, because we're talking about beliefs with the pro-life versus sexuality and gender. It's not a belief for these people. This is who they are. And for me, and this goes back to, like, what flags represent, I'm not any of those letters, but I don't feel unincluded by that flag because I think it celebrates humanity's differences. And to go back to the, like, yes or no, one person's right and one person's wrong. That goes with gender too. And we're seeing more and more as it may seem like there's all this new stuff, but it was never defined before because there was a, you were a male or a female, because that's what society had. And as we're learning more about causes of things and all these other things, we're starting to hear more terms that when I was growing up, these terms, they didn't exist, or not to my knowledge. So I see the flag as saying that, like, Smithers is a welcoming place for all people, regardless of gender or sexual orientation, versus the pro-life flag is a belief. I'm not saying it's a wrong belief, but it's a belief. And it goes to push what Frank was saying. What beliefs do we stop at if we start to say this is one group of people's belief? Yeah, do we put the credit, like, Confederate flag, which is kind of a symbol of racism now, are we going to fly that, or are we going to fly the Nazi flag because we believe are a group of people in town? And there may be a group of people in town that believe that way, but I think it's, we have to separate the beliefs. And so that's just kind of my, I think that if people in their own private houses or businesses want to fly whatever they want, that is our right to express our beliefs. I believe that in our own space, not in other people's, not in public space.
I think what we're saying with the pro-life flag is this is, that applies to all people as well, because every one of us has been born, and we can thank our birth mom for that, who chose life for us. And every one of us as a human being, part of the human community, has value because we are human beings. So if there are some other community groups that have a great flag and they would like to be represented there as well, great. Or else none.
Yeah.
And then the town council can just get back to the business of running the town.
Being open to having pro-choice flags, like, I think that's a really key thing to point out, because what I see a lot in media, and something I dislike, is kind of villainizing perspectives that aren't popular in public discourse. And, like, I would say that your perspective is not particularly popular in public discourse sometimes. And it's like, that's, I think that's not, that isn't fair in a way, because it's, it allows for sort of like a poor representation of you in the media that I would say is completely flawed in a lot of ways. Like, I would say that I've seen articles that will kind of reduce that perspective or connote it to other things. Like, this is a later question in this, but we could go into it now. Like, the idea that people assume pro-life means anti-choice, whereas it's life-affirming. It doesn't necessarily negate someone's ability to have a choice. Or, like, just what you just brought up, it's not about replacing a flag that represents a progressive cause. It's just about being elevated to the same position. And I think it's really key for you to make that point and kind of express the fact that it's not something that needs to be villainized or treated negatively, because it deserves space and it deserves articulation, and there's complexity and nuance to it, you know. So thank you for pointing that out. Anyways, next question on this list. Would you agree with the statement that being pro-life doesn't necessarily connote being anti-choice?
Well, for me, if I say that I am pro-life,
yeah,
then that means that I'm saying that children in the womb are deserving of that life because they are part of the human family. But to take that to the next step and say that now I'm forbidding you to have an abortion, that's not within my realm. I can't do that, like, because we live in a democratic country. And the best that I can do, which is in fact what I do, is I try to show people that this is a child in the womb, heartbeat already at 8 weeks, and try and show the humanity of the child in the womb. But can I now say you may not have an abortion? That is not my ability to do that for you. All I can do is, like I said, give you all the information and just pray that you will see the humanity of that child and be moved to choose life for that child.
Part of the problem, too, with seeing a pro-life flag, as we all know, what's happening after Roe versus Wade got overturned, which wasn't actually the right to abortions. It was the right for the states to make their own determination. And some of the states have taken it to ridiculous extremes where I think even a pro-life person, a reasonable pro-life person would agree that if the baby is a tubal pregnancy and is actually not a baby, you should get that taken care of before it kills you. Whereas some places have taken that to the extreme. They won't even allow that.
Yeah.
And, you know, so again, when you look at that symbol, I think people go to the extremes. And, it's hard for me as a man. I'll never have to face that choice. So, and I think sometimes, In my mind, what it boils down to is sometimes in society with lots of things, we might get into this later about actually what goes on in Bovell Square, is sometimes there are two rights that both should be rights, and sometimes they're conflicting.
Okay, but one's the right to convenience and one's the right to their actual life, in my opinion. Like, the woman already has the right to life. But that's an aside. I guess what I would like to just say to you with the extremes is that, like, I have not seen any pro-life laws that don't allow for DNC for miscarriage care. And then I would we would not be okay with that. But I have also heard stories of doctors who have said, oh, I can't do your miscarriage care, right? And in which case, I think the doctor should be sued for medical negligence, because that is just abhorrent to me. And that message is so damaging to women who are having miscarriages and feel like, oh, now I can't get miscarriage care, and they're scared to go into the hospital. That's terrible for those women. And it's a bad message to be spreading, because it's dangerous for the women to believe that. And I don't believe it to be true. I don't believe it to be true that there's actually a law that does not allow DNCs for miscarriage care, because those babies have already passed on, and that would not be a problem in the pro-life.
Kate, what would you add from a medical perspective?
So first, like, 1 in 4, like, I don't have the statistics in front of me, but, like, I would like to see those, because just based on my personal experience just in this community alone, I am going to say with no facts behind me that I would not trust those numbers, that 1 in 4 pregnancies are a medical termination of a pregnancy. But in our statistics, if it just says abortions, it does mean spontaneous abortions too. So the data that 1 in 4 comes from could, again, don't see the, I don't like the study that shows that, could include the spontaneous abortions. And we do know around 60 to 70% of all pregnancies before about 6 to 7 weeks end in a spontaneous abortion, miscarriage, whatever you want to call it. So that those numbers might be coming from that. Again, don't have those hard facts in front of me, so I can't say for sure.
And but again, I would be very surprised. Skewed, it can be skewed too by even Plan B, which can, right? Like, you don't have all those, because those are just over the counter. So you wouldn't have any of those statistics either.
And we don't know
if
those would have been successful pregnancies. Yeah. We don't know. Yeah. That's just things that, like, there's,
it would be hard to support.
There's no way. People, every woman of childbearing age would have to do their beta HCG every single day for their entire life for us to get that to, like, oh, you were pregnant and now you're not, or whatever it is. We would never have all of that information. So that was one just, it seems very extreme to me. And so since we're talking about extremes, and with the, whether you see pro-choice as, I'm going to just, like, baby killers or whatever you want to call it, what is the word? But I do agree that it can give almost a negative view for some people to hear pro-life. Just, but I know it's coming from, like, a good place. Like, I know it's not meant to be negative, but I think for a lot of people, it can be associated with negative thoughts. Because, and I'll come back to this choice, and I don't know what your guys' personal beliefs are, but just based on your wording, I think I know about birth control and all those things. that don't stop conception, a lot of them, but stop the pregnancy from implanting, and saying, is that okay? Are we taking, if we're not okay with that, taking that choice away from a woman to decide when and where she gets pregnant? You know, it's this, and this is a whole different past all of this, pro-life or not, but I think that if it's not for everyone, that's what I can't say, like, that's, but for a lot of people that is okay in their life and that's what they want. But I think
what's not for everyone? I missed the connection.
Not having that choice of when and when they become pregnant.
Okay. But you alluded, what you mentioned a little earlier, the contraception.
Mm-hmm.
So could you just tie that in a bit? I sort of missed the connection.
So there. Some people believe that most of the forms of contraceptions we are not pro-life, because there is, once the sperm and egg meet, that is a life. And so a lot of our medications work by not allowing the egg to implant into the endometrial lining and be shed. And therefore, if your beliefs are that that is when life begins, when those two cells meet, then that takes away a lot of women's choice and women's right to choose. So some contraception block ovulation. There's no chance of getting pregnant. Permanent contraception obviously blocks the sperm and egg ever from meeting, but there are hundreds, if not thousands, other fantastic options for contraception, but not by blocking the meeting of those two. And so when we're saying pro-life, that is good, but if we're not, what pulls me back from it is if women don't have a choice. That's really where I come back to, is the choice over their own body. And even, I'm going to be devil's advocate since I'm on a roll, is if we are believing that the fetus, once it's implanted, is a human life, how are we balancing out the importance of that life over the mother's life? Because there is so much more to pregnancy or all these other things, or even just life in general, to say, you know, are we valuing the unborn baby over the mom's?
I guess I would say we also have a choice before reproduction occurs. Like, it's
good point.
We are able to control ourselves to a point as well. Obviously, there's
like, are you speaking to like, prevent like contraceptives type of thing, or
to prevent becoming pregnant?
Yeah. So like prevention.
You can take steps beforehand as well to make sure you don't get pregnant.
But all the same scenarios where you could imagine somebody is being coerced into having an abortion, they can also be coerced into having sex, or forced.
That's true too.
In the case of a female. So, you know, it's, I think, It's nice to be able to be in a room where people are respecting each other, but I think that this is a pretty emotional thing. And again, when it comes into the community, the way it has, is that not everybody is capable of being rational about it. You know, I mean,
I'm just
yeah, well, people are passionate and sometimes they don't listen to other people as well. And I don't think that's the case in this room, but you know, you only have to go on Facebook about pretty much anything to see mm-hmm. how mean-spirited people can be. And that's sometimes when there's a divisive, and it doesn't mean we shouldn't have conversations about them, yeah. But it really, sometimes it brings out things in the community that lie dormant otherwise.
I'd also just like to pick up earlier where I was trying to ask you where you were going with this, you know, was it a legal question that you were trying to ask me? And I did just want to bring up the fact that Canada does not have an abortion law. And that also seems to be a misconception out there, or like a huge lack of knowledge Right now, Canada does not have an abortion law. Would I like to see a law come in? Yes, I think it is high time that Canada, you know, joined the other democratic countries with international standards, where democratic countries actually have a law and their laws.
Can you, sorry, do you mind clarifying what you mean by abortion law?
A law that regulates abortion.
So it wouldn't it wouldn't prevent?
No, okay. No, just regulates.
As okay. In determines what stage at which you're allowed
that
to
there
abort?
Would be like gestational limits, that after a certain point, abortion would not be allowed anymore because the child is so far developed now already, okay, to the point even where, and this is also documented, that there are surgeries done on babies in the womb to correct birth defects, and they're in the womb and they're being operated on and fixed, right? Whether it's heart defects or spina bifida or things like that, right? So if we in the medical community are going so far as to do surgery on children who are in the womb, we are acknowledging then that that's a human being, and that human being is getting medical care, which is medical care not done on the mother but on the child. So somewhere Canada has to, the government of Canada has to finally have the courage to say, we need a law that will regulate abortion, taking into account both the rights of the mom, but also the rights to life, the right to life of the child in the womb.
Does anyone else have anything to say? Because I can move to the last question if you guys are all right with it. Good? Okay. When does one attain rights as a human being, and to what extent should those rights be protected?
Go for it, Betty.
Well, Kate, I thought this played right into your area of expertise.
It's not my area of expertise, but it does play into what I was talking about before, and I don't have an answer for it. It's just a question.
I mean, if you really want to be technical on this, then when you have a fertilized egg, that is the beginning, that's conception, and you're now dealing with a human being. So when does someone attain the rights of a human being? Well, really, when you're a human being. But to what extent should those rights be protected? It's almost the debate of personhood, which our government went through a while back already. To whom do you give the rights of personhood, which then just becomes a really arbitrary line? I mean, for a huge part of Canadian history, women did not have the rights of personhood.
On my notes here. This is pretty perfect. So anyways, that's a whole other debate. Oh, we can have another.
I think you and I will be on the same page on that one for sure.
And I don't think it's human life is based on, not saying that you said this, but it's not really based on feelings. So for me, it starts at conception. And I really think that the rights need to be equal. The woman needs to be taken care of. The baby needs to be taken care of. When I was having my 32-week-old preemie baby, I was scared. But these doctors, they all came. Kate was there. She took care of my little preemie baby, worked to get her to breathe. You know, like, there are babies 32 weeks old being killed. Like, these are human beings. You can't say that they don't deserve the right to live. I saw my 9-week-old Kalia in my belly moving around, and I felt Ryder in my belly. He hated or loved, I thought, tacos. Every time I ate tacos, this child would go nuts. Well, he hates tacos. I thought he loved them, but he hates them. My Lily, she was so chill in the womb, and she's still such a chill child. And I just, these are human beings. It's amazing what these babies can do and feel, and they can recognize the mom's voice. I really think that sometimes when we talk about pro-life and pro-choice, the baby does get forgotten. You can call it fetus, which means little one in Latin. You can call it whatever you want, but this is a human being. We have to remember, we have to err on the side of life. I have had 5 children, 1 miscarriage at 6 weeks. These are human beings. You can get into all these nuances, but at the end of it, if I'm going to be against the killing of an innocent human being, and I believe in human rights for all, an abortion kills an innocent human being, then I have to be against abortion.
I'm not a woman. I don't even know what that would be like. But I think that those kind of things where you're balancing 2 human lives and the baby's inside the mother, that's a difficult choice for her to make. And I know you don't mean it this way, but without the judgment that you're killing a baby, because I think the acknowledgement is there for those people. And I think that's what we heard a little bit at council. When they see the flag, they don't see what you mean. They see that. And I think that's where the difficulty lies.
And sorry, Kate, you just haven't had the chance to answer this question yet. So I thought I'd give you a second here.
So firstly, I just wanted to say that I think it's very admirable that you guys feel so passionately about and care so much about other people. I do. I think that it's a very unique human characteristic that we all have, and we don't always express it, that you guys have this cause and this that you feel really very passionately about and have such good hearts behind it. I really mean that. But I will come back to what I say to most people, not about this, about almost everything, is you can't tell me what to do. And so it comes back to, and I can control what I do, and I can have my beliefs, and I can make my own choices for myself. And that's where I leave it. I allow other people to make their own choices in life. And I won't agree with a lot of choices that I see friends or family or patients make. And I can only be there to support them, whoever it is. But ultimately, I can only control myself. And that is my outlook on life, on this matter, on the sidewalk, is I can control how it affects me. And what I choose for myself and what other people choose to do is up to them.
Yeah, I feel like now's a good time to wrap up. But yeah, just like massive thank you to you guys. It's amazing. And just the way you spoke and articulated yourselves is just everything you could ask for with one of these conversations. So thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for being here.
Thank you for initiating.
Okay, so that concludes the second and final part of our series. Listen again at smithersradio.com under CICK News Podcast or wherever you get your podcasts. This piece was hosted and produced by Madeline Gatavi for CICK News. Most importantly, a huge thank you goes out to our guests, Betty Banstra, River Wild, Frank Ray, Kate Needhammer, and Jessica, for their openness and authenticity in taking the time to do this.
You've been listening to CICK News. If you have any hot tips or news stories you think we should cover, contact us at CICKnews@smithersradio.com or follow us on Facebook at CICK News. CICK News is made possible by the Government of Canada and the Community Radio Fund of Canada, the only organization mandated to financially supporting campus and community radio stations across Canada. You can also catch our fresh shows each week at theskeena.com or subscribe to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you find your podcasts. Thanks to our producer Pam Hassan and all of our roving reporters, I'm Dan Messick. Thanks for listening.